want you guys to close your eyes. Just listen. Just forget about everybody around you. Just know this time is the Lord's time. I've just been thinking so much about what is it that we do when we stand here and we sing these songs. Because it's me and Marco and, you know, usually somebody else that are singing, and we're singing our lungs out and we're singing our hearts out and we're playing all this music, and sometimes it's nice, every now and then there's a mistake, and you know, it's just so normal. But what's happening when we're doing what's so normal in the spiritual realm is so not normal. It's supernatural. And sometimes we come into this room and we've just had a fight with someone, or we've had a really horrible week, or even a horrible day, or something's happening tomorrow that we're nervous about. And we find that we just stay at that normal level the whole day and the whole service. We don't ever get to that, what's actually happening in the room. So I just want to challenge us today to, you know, you can keep your eyes closed if you want to, the whole praise and worship, if you feel that's necessary. But now it's not the time to be like, oh, I'm in a good place, I'm going to come sing. Or, oh, you know, everything went really well and I understand what this is about, so now I'm going to worship. No, it's not about that. It's about coming and saying, God, I don't actually really know who you are even. I don't even know if I believe who you are. I don't understand. But I know, or, you know, there's always something maybe that we're struggling with. We don't always come here fully prepared and so ready, you know, to do this thing. But it's not about that. It's really about coming as we are, and it's really about coming and saying, God, I'm choosing right now to focus 100% on you. I'm choosing right now to stand here and to put my eyes completely on you, and I want to listen, Lord. What do you want to say to me? I want to know, are you real? I want to know, are you here? I want to know what this means. What does this mean? Why do we do this every Sunday? And I just got the scripture this whole week through, because even for me, or for us, you know, it's not always easy. But it says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned that the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And you know, if you could read in the scripture, you just see how the apostles suffered. But every single time when they spoke about God, they spoke with joy, they spoke with love. And they always said that they were choosing to, you know, to look to him. And so today when we worship and when we listen to the message and we go through the service together as a family, congregation, and even for you guys who are here the first time, I challenge you, stand here, sing these songs and ask God, what do you have for me? What do you want to say to me? Who are you? And let's really dig in, and let's really spend time, because I promise you, if you choose not to just have a normal experience today, he will meet you there. So let's just spend 30 seconds. This is consecrate our hearts, which means we're setting aside this time. We're choosing not to think about this stuff. We're not going to reason with ourselves. We're not going to, you know, let the stuff of the outside get into this right now. But we're going to set this time apart, and we're going to spend that time with the Lord, and we're going to choose to see him, to seek him, and to bring him the praise and the glory, because he is God. And he is the Lord of Lords, and he is the King of Kings. And through him, we can do all things, even sing. So Father, Lord, we just come to you, Father, as we are, Lord. You know what's going on in our hearts, Father God. We know that you can see everything, you know all, Lord. But your greatest desire is for us to draw close to you, Lord. To come to you willingly, Father, even as Tatian shared, willingly the congregation came and they brought offerings, Lord, and we willingly want to bring an offering today, Father, of ourselves, of our time, of our concentration, of our attention. And Father, we just say, come and meet us, Lord. Come and show us who you are, Father God. Let us bring you an offering, Father, today that is worthy of who you are, Father God.
Oh, This is the answer of peace. When fears are still and striving cease, my comforter, my knowing one, here in the love of Christ I stand. My comforter, my knowing one, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my soul. This cornerstone, this solid ground, far through the fiercest cloud and
thank you, Lord, for this precious time and all those beautiful words we could sing, Father. Thank you that it is truth. And we believe it, Father. We believe it and we proclaim it, Lord. We praise you and we honor you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Why are you here? If you remember, about 2 weeks ago, I started with that question with a sermon. Why are you here? And then I had a different things, and I spoke a little bit about preaching and things like that. And I felt the Lord was telling me today, I've got to preach about it. Why are you here? Why are we here on this earth? And yeah, I'm first going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are here because you've got a plan with us. And I pray, Lord, that this afternoon, that we can hear, what is your plan, Father? Why have you done all these things? Why do you love us so much? That we can hear it this afternoon. That we can say, yes, Father. No, I understand. And I pray, Lord, that our ears will be open, our eyes will be open, that we will see and that we will hear what you want to show to us. And our Father, I also pray that if there's anything which wants to disturb our minds of things that happened earlier today of this week, Father, that we can focus on that, Lord. That we can use the authority in the name of Jesus Christ and we can say whatever wants to draw our mind away from what is going to be said this afternoon, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can focus, Father, that we can hear what is in your heart. And we can have a connection with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We were quite near, and we were quite privileged of being last week in London, and it was with the two churches in London that we were together. And this is a picture which they took about those fancy drums in the air, and then you can see the whole group who was over there. We had beautiful weather over there. At a certain time, it was actually uncomfortable warm. And the thing again, as we drove back near, and they were talking about it, what was the main thing? What was the most important thing? And it is about getting closer to God. The relationship that we've got with God, that it just gets closer and closer. Half of those people are not even shofar members, but they can. And they come each and every year. They want to be there. They want to receive. And we could speak to them. I had to do a little bit of a teaching about reaching Europe. Renee had to do a little bit of a teaching about birthing it in. And it was awesome that we could share it. And then we could also experience it, what it actually meant for those people over there. And next year, the last Monday of August, you're all welcome that weekend to come and go along with us as well. It's awesome. It's an awesome place over there. Enough food, actually too much food, so maybe that's for certain people also a reason why they want to come along. Mm-hmm. It's a whole year what you can save now. Mm. It's really, I enjoyed it. And inviting me to come along next year. Why are we here? We are here because God created us and He placed us on this earth. That's why we're here. We are here because God has spoken. When He created, He spoke a word and then the things are happening. And before I'm going to read now the verse out of Genesis, it was on Thursday evening when I spoke to a guy, a biologist, and I asked him if he knew about Jesus. He didn't know actually how to answer over there. And he said, "I'm a biologist." And I thought, now I'm asking you, what do you think about Jesus? And then he's replying, "I'm a biologist." And then I said, "How do you actually mean?" He believes in evolution, he doesn't believe in creation. And I said, "Okay." I said, "We're roughly 7 billion people on this earth. Can you maybe just tell me, out of those 7 billion people, who are already a little bit further what evolution is concerned, and who are those which are a little bit behind? Meaning that if somebody is going to be operated on an eye, that you can only have certain medical doctors working in certain areas because the eye is in that area the same, but in the other places the eye hasn't been developed that much yet, and in other places it's maybe even further developed, that you already got a radar on it or something like that, I don't know." He couldn't answer it, but then I thought, okay, let me stop that one because I'm not going to convince him with that. But we could speak about it and I could share the gospel with him. And what I'm going to share now about God, the Creator, a lot of people over here, they say, "This is not a creation, it's evolution." And what the Bible is saying, what we believe in, is a little bit different. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And that's the reason why we're here. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him." So we are here because God started everything. He started with the creation. And if we read it in the first sentence over there, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So he's repeating it actually. It's a double confirmation, you nearly can say this. We've been made according to God's image. So God duplicated him, you nearly can say. In computer term, copy-paste. That's how he did it. He put himself in us like that. When I had a look at it, I also thought, really? So which means that I'm a copy of God. So God made a copy of me. That's us. This is what the word is saying. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. Male and female, he created them. We haven't been made a copy of any of the other animals which have been produced beforehand. We've been created to the image of God. And it's only with us, when God has been creating something, that he says, we've been created to the image of God. And we've got a dominion over there. Fish of the sea. So yes, you can go and catch fish over there. Birds of the air, of the cattle. So yes, you can slaughter it and you can eat it up and have a barbecue. We've got to have dominion over there. Over all the earth. So yes, we've got dominion over there. But we also have got a responsibility that we do it the correct way. And over all the creeping things that creeps on the earth. Why that one is specifically mentioned, the creeping things, I'm not quite sure. But still we've got dominion over it. So if there's anything that we can also take dominion over there, if it is necessary. And we can compare those, that we are an image of God, we can compare it with a statue. We're all aware that statues are being put up. Statue for Stalin. That reminds us of Stalin, what the guy's been doing, if it's good or bad, I'm not going to discuss that too this afternoon. But George Washington, Willem van Oranje, whatever it is, there are statues. And those statues must remind us each and every time of what the guy has been doing and what he has done actually on this earth. there are 7 billion statues of God people walking around. So if we take a look at another person is the image of God. Each and every one of those 7 billion. So there are 7 billion people walking around. So if we look around, then we see all of you are images of God, a copy of God. It's a little bit frightening. How much more God wants to remind us that He is over there? That there are 7 billion people walking around. So each and every time we see another person, we actually should be reminded again. It's a copy of God. It's a copy of God. It's the image of God. It's like God. Wow. So the next time you take a look at a person, it's a little bit different. It's the image of God. It's a copy of God. So why are we here? We're here to bear each image. We are representing His image. And we've got to remind the people of who God actually is. Then the question is, okay, if we know what God wants, of why we are here, because God started with the creation and He put us over here, then we can elaborate a little bit further and we can say, okay, what is it actually what God wants us to do? What must we do? What type of, because if He copied us, there must be a plan of Him that He says, okay, this is what that you've got to do. Because if we are an image bearer, if we are just reflecting the image of God, then we also should spread His glory. And I want to read out of Numbers 14 verses 20, where the Lord is talking, where He says, and then the Lord said, I've pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. So God really wants to fill the earth with the glory of God. That verse is when the Lord is speaking to Moses. The Israelites were in the desert. They send out a team into Israel to spy a little bit over there. At that time, they didn't have drones, so they didn't have Google Maps, so you had to send people over there. People came back and they gave feedback. The majority of them said, don't go. Maybe we shouldn't get involved over there. Told people, I don't know, maybe even told us what I am, don't go there, don't waste your time over there. Let's turn around, let's go back to Egypt. And they started moaning. They went to Moses and they said, Moses, why did you bring us over here? Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? Much better over there. And then the Lord got angry. And then the Lord said, I'm going to wipe out all of them, and I'm going to build a new nation from you, from Moses. And then Moses said, forgive us, please forgive. I'm asking for forgiveness. Please forgive us. And this is when the Lord replied and said, I pardon you according to your word. Because He says that all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. So that's the reason why we are here. We've got to fill the earth with the glory of God. Isaiah 43 would tell us a little bit better and maybe more descriptive. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, I have formed him, I've made him. Who I have created for my glory. So we've been created for glorifying God. That's our task. We've got to give glory to him. Not always that we're doing that. We're sometimes battling with it. It's quite easy if things are going wrong, then we start swearing. So we're actually cursing the Lord then, instead of praising him. But we've got to give him all the glory. In the Old Testament, the word glory, what has been used over there, is the glory of God, is the idea of greatness, of splendor, something awesome, something great. And we could see it a few weeks back as well, when Renee was talking who I am, when he showed us those video clips of how awesome and how great God is. He created heaven and earth, the universe, everything would surround us. We can't even see it with a normal eye. All be created by God. And in the New Testament, the word glory, what's used over there is, it gives a dignity, an honor, a praise and a worship. A praise and a worship that you people have been doing last week. That's what the Lord is, God is looking for. He's looking for that glory. And if you put the two together, then the one in the Old Testament and the New Testament, glorifying God means to acknowledge His greatness and to give Him honor by praising and worshiping Him. And we're going to do it in heaven. 24/7, we're going to praise God's name, we're going to give glory to Him. That's why we've been put on this earth. We've been put on this earth to be an image, to be an image bearer of him. And we've been put on this earth to give him glory. And then, okay, if this is now to give God glory and to tell him that he's awesome and that he's great, what about the world around me? Why am I here? What must I do for the world around me is concerned? Kirsten, can I ask you to help me? Because I need three hands. And I counted them just now. I only can get to two. Get a dull side up. No? Just flat? This is more or less, if we do not know God, what is happening? There's a light which is shining on us, which is God, but we're not reflecting it. We're not showing it back. We don't do anything with it. But if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we turn around for 180 degrees. Then we are reflecting the glory to God. We're acknowledging God. We say, God, you're awesome, you're great, you've got a plan with me. You've created heaven and earth. You're wonderful. This metal is dirty. With purpose, I made it dirty. I bought it in a shop yesterday. It was very clean. But just now, I made it dirty. Even when I'm dirty, even when I'm not perfect, even when I'm not totally clean, I can still reflect the glory of God. I can reflect it back to him. But the whole purpose is that I must position myself and put it on an angle of 45 degrees. So the glory of God is going to reflect. Can you find a dark corner around somewhere over here? Let's see if we can... No, no, stand over here. I want to shine on the mirror that we can see the light. The other is that we can see that it's lighting up. So that's actually what God wants to do. That we should be reflecting. Thank you. That we should be reflecting that light, that glory from God to the people around us. That we can be God's light into the dark places. That we can reflect it. And we just have got to position ourselves. Just have got to be in the right place and do the things what the Lord is asking us to do. In this world, we're very good in bragging. The Dutch word for bragging is opscheppen. And it doesn't mean opscheppen what food is concerned, but opscheppen van, okay, you know that you're good. And when I was a little bit smaller, I remember always that you're bragging with your dad's car, and you tell your friend, my dad has got a bigger car, but your dad has got, or he already has got a car at that time. A lot of people didn't have a car when I was still small. My dad in 1964, I think he was one of the very first cars who had a car telephone, which was fancy at that time. Then you're bragging about it. You say, wow, this is, have a look, this is what my dad has got. What has he got your dad? Is he still driving a bicycle? Oh, okay. You position yourself, you level yourself up because you're bragging about something which is not your own. Jeremiah is also talking about it. In Jeremiah 9, verses 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glorifies glory in this, that he understands that he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth, in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Bragging is what we're used to. We will tell what study we've completed. If somebody's asking you, then immediately you tell them what study you're busy with or what you've completed, and immediately, yeah, between the lines, you're basically bragging with yourself of what you've already boasted, of what you already obtained, and what you've already done in this world. But one thing that the Lord is actually giving us, we should brag about God. The God we know. How many times are we doing that? Are we saying, I know the Creator of heaven and earth. I've got a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. All that you can see around you. I know that God. I know that one. So this again, let's brag next time. Let's brag about what God has been doing and that we know Him. And God is saying it there. If you brag about me, He's happy with us. We can brag about God. Another question is, okay, if we know that we're here to bear the image of God, we're here to glorify God, we're here to reflect the glory from God to other people, how can people see that? How can they recognize it in you? And I took three verses out of Peter. The one is First Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. This is how they can recognize us. We're talking about God. We're praising Him. We're excited about Him. Renee just now mentioned when you go to a game and you start flag, and then you start with a soccer team, and then you show your flag and say, okay, you're Ajax or Feyenoord or Twente or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But what is happening? You're giving praise. When the team is winning, you start singing. And when you're in the stadium, and if it's 1-0 or 2-0, then you only hear one team singing, and it's the team who's got 1 or 2-0. Otherwise, you don't hear them anymore. They're quiet, and they keep quiet for the rest of the game, most probably. But we've got to praise. And people should be hearing it from us, that we're praising God. We say, it's an awesome God. And we serve Him. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord your God, the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So they can see the hope in you. We should be that the people should have a look at us and to say, wow, why are you so content? Why are you not having problems? Why are you so happy? And you can say, I've got a hope. That's the hope that I'm going to be with the Father in heaven forever and ever. That, for me, is much more important than a flat tire, than a speed fine, or anything else. Those are just temporary things. Being with God in heaven forever and ever is much more important, and that's giving me hope. Another one, 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, and when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So they can see it, what we're doing, the good works that we're doing. It's out of a reflection of that relationship that we've got with God. And then people can see the good works. That we're even helping those people which normally nobody will help. But we are prepared to help them because we can see them. This is the image of God. This is part of the creation of God. And now I've got to look after it. So those are a few practical things. There may be more that I can mention over there, but yes, we've got to praise Him. We've got to show that we've got hope. We've got to do good works. Why am I here? Because God created me to His image. Why am I here? Because I have to. And I want to give glory to God. Why am I here? I want to reflect that glory. I want to reflect it to the people around me. By proclaiming the praise of God, the hope that's in me, and the good works what I'm doing. We've been speaking about Moses, and I also took Moses for the offerings. It's quite a popular guide today. But Moses also went up to the mountain, and then he spoke to God. And in the presence of God, he absorbed God. And when he came down, his face was radiating. People couldn't have a look at him. So he had to put a veil over his face, just to block the glory which he absorbed from just the presence of God, being along with God. So it's actually awesome that that is happening. What God is showing us again, how great He is and how awesome He is. If we are in His presence in your quiet time, that you can absorb that. I mean, you're another person when you walk outside. Because God is in you. You reflect it to the people around you. God has spoken in the beginning of the creation. He spoke, and as He spoke, things were happening. We've been created. Man has been created from dust. When we die, we go back to dust. But when God created us from dust, he blew breath into our nostrils. So God is a living God, and God only wants to do and only wants to give us life, nothing else. God is not a God who wants to kill us. That's not his interest. He wants to have a life with us, life which is going to be forever. And we are actually very special if we've got a relationship with God. And I became aware again as I was busy with the sermon that if we take a look at how much God is interested in us, what he is doing, and if we read through the Bible, the whole manual, how we've got to behave and what we've got to do, we can't keep quiet. We are excited about it, of what God is doing, and we can share it with other people. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, what I would like to share as final for today. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. A lot of compliments over there. Eh? You're a chosen generation. God has chosen us. He said, I want to be with you. But we have got to reply on that. We've got to say, yes, do I want to be with God or not? A royal priesthood. Royalty means, again, if we are royal, then there's certain authority which is coming along with it as well. We've got power, we've got authority that we can use. A holy nation. We've been selected, we've been set apart. His own special people. If we want to have a relationship with God, this is what God is telling us. We are special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We've been singing it as well. And just now with the mirror also, we could see it. The world around us is dark. But God is the light. And we are invited to come into the light. But we still haven't made that decision. And if we made a decision to reflect the light again into the darkness, those people who are around us, that we can show the light, who once were not the people, but are now the people of God. Through Adam, the relationship was broken. There was not that relationship anymore that God had, what he had in the beginning with us. That was broken. But God restored it again through that option, what we've got to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then that relationship was restored again. And then we are people of God. We belong to him. We can call him Father. And what he says then, yeah, we have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And it's a gift that God has given to us. And we've just got to accept that gift. It's not a certain amount of work that you've got to do. It's not a certain amount of money that you've got to pay, which is quite common, because we always say, if you do something, or you've got to do something, you're not really getting anything over here. In the Dutch, they will say, voorwaarde, woordwaarde. So, yeah, something has got to be done, otherwise you're not going to get anything out of it. God is not like that. It's just saying, here it is, it's a free gift, and you've got to accept it. And I pray that today is really helping a little bit of understanding who we are, why we are here. It's not that we are here because our mom and dad had sex and now we are over here. No, we are here because God has placed us over here. And there's a purpose why we are over here. And there's also a reason why you're now over here. You could have been born maybe in the Middle Ages as well, and maybe you could have been born in 20 or 30 years of time. We don't know. But you're here, and you're now over here. And God has got a certain reason why he's put you over here. And that's what I'm also finding excitement in my walk with God, to find out why God wants me to be over here now at the moment. I would prefer to stay in South Africa where I am at the moment. God has said I've got to be here, and I want to be here. And then I'm happy to be here, because I know that I'm doing what he wants me to do. And this is part of that relationship. It's the same with my wife. I also want to do and give my wife what she's looking for and what she's asking for. She's asking for tea. I'm not going to give her coffee. Or if she's asking for coffee, I'm not going to give her tea. It doesn't work like this. I know she wants that, then I'll give it to her. With pleasure, I'll give that to her. Let's stand. Father, we've got so many questions that we've got and what we want to ask, and so many things we want to know, and why this and why that. the answers which you've given us today, Lord, are the ones which started in the beginning. You've created heaven and earth. And you started with creation, with people, and you created male and female on the sixth day. So that we can be over here as a representative of you to give you glory. That we can reflect your glory to the people around us. And maybe in the beginning we are battling a little bit and our mirror is maybe not clean. It doesn't matter. With time, it will clean. And it can really reflect your glory to the other people around us. And Father, I'm praying as everybody's eyes is closed. If there's somebody who says, but I've never accepted God is the creator of heaven and earth. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that He died for my sins, that I could have that relationship again with God the Father. I've never done that. But today I feel I want to make that decision. Then I'm giving you an opportunity now that you can raise your hand. And I'm going to repeat it again. If you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you, and if you feel you would like to make a decision today, that you say, Lord, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to have a relationship with you. Today I feel I must take the decision. And I'm inviting you to put up your hand. If you one who says, I've made a decision, I'm already walking with God, but I've been a mirror which has been laying flat on my back, and I was just communicating, and I was just reflecting the glory to God. I wasn't at an angle, I wasn't well positioned, I didn't reflect it in the area around us. But I can understand it today, that I've got to reflect the glory of God to the people around me. And if this is you, then I'm going to ask you to come forward, that you can say to the Lord, Lord, I want to position myself again, that I'm in the right place, that I'm in the right area, that I can reflect that glory of yours, that I can reflect it to other people around. Thank you, Father, that we can be together now over here, and that we also can receive the symbols of the communion, which is reminding us again of what Jesus has done. He died for our sins. And Father, I want to just thank you that it is a confirmation again, with the agreement what you've got with us, and we just have got to accept it. And as the symbols are being handed out at the moment, I'm going to invite you to take it. If you've never done it, if you're not quite sure about it, don't feel bad. You don't have to join us. It's nothing wrong. But a communion, again, is for us as a confirmation that we've got a relationship with God. A relationship which isn't simply started. It is a relationship which God started with us. And we as human beings, through Adam, damaged it. And God wants to restore it again. He gave us Jesus Christ, that through Jesus Christ that we could be restored again, and that we can have that living relationship with the Father. The bread is reminding us the body of Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we can have eternal life. The fruit juice, it's not wine, it's fruit juice, but it is grape juice. It hasn't been fermented, so there's no alcohol in it. It is reminding us of the blood that Jesus Christ died at the cross. And it was actually a bloody thing, because the blood ran out of his body, dripped into the ground. He died for us so that we can have eternal life, that we can have a relationship with Him forever and ever. Move your breath. Okay. So I'm inviting you to take the cracker which is responding and representing the body of Christ, and think about what God has been doing for us. He created us, He made us His image. He wants to be in a relationship with us. He's desperately waiting for us. And by taking death, just say thank you. Thank you, Father, that you you want to be with us. You want to have a relationship with us. You can take the sin off your head. Thank you for the symbol of the wine, Father. The blood of Jesus. Washed away all the sins, all the things what I've done wrong, what I'm doing wrong, and what I'm still going to do wrong, Father. Nothing is going to be held against me anymore, Lord, because Jesus died for it. That I can be in a relationship with you, Father, to be with you in heaven. Thank you, Father, that it makes me excited, that gives me hope. That's what I want to share with the other people around me. That's the light which I want to shine and reflect to the people around me. That's the good news which I want to tell. Although Jesus died 2,000 years ago, each and every day, it's still good news. Because it gives us a future, which nothing and nobody can offer us. But the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, to be with Him. Symbol of the blood. And as we're going to sing one or two songs, I'll be around here at the front. If you want to come to the front and you want to come for prayer, I'll be available over here. Even if you're sick and you say, I've got a knee which is not working, or a shoulder, anything like that, please feel free to come forward and we can pray for you. We're going to close the two big doors just now. We're going to carry on with what worshiping is concerned. If you feel you would like to go and have a cup of coffee already, if you'd like to speak to the visitors afterwards as well, feel free to do it that way. And we're going to carry on. And this is actually a holy moment. And then we also treat it like this. God is special. He's there. Creator of heaven and earth. And we cannot explain it. A biologist couldn't explain it. But he's interested in each and every one of us. So the next time, in the week which is coming now, if you take a look at the people, see them as an image of God, as a statue of God, to remind you again, it's creation of God, creation of God, creation of God, creation of God. Then we take a different look at all the people. Because the people can be a creation of God, but maybe they're not aware that God created them. And that's that good news what we can share with them. Have an awesome week that you can testify next week what the Lord has been doing. Thank you.
Tell